Everyone else, if you have your Bibles, I have a short message, more like a devotion today. And if you would turn to your Bibles to the book of Second Chronicles, chapter 16. Second Chronicles 16. And I'm going to lay this down. And we'll bow with me, if you would, just once more in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word for a few more minutes, we ask, Lord, that you would enlighten our minds, that you would give us understanding of your word, and that you would challenge us in the areas of our life where we need to be challenged and where we need to grow. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, my purpose for wanting the Nicaragua group to share with you today was, you know, first, so you could be encouraged and hear what they've actually been doing all these years in Nicaragua. Also, so that you could really catch a vision how an average person, a regular person like we are, can have an impact for the mission of God in the world. That each of us can have an impact. And what I mean by that is we can get off the sidelines, so to speak, in the game, in the mission that God is a part of, and get in the game. And we can each do that. And I just want to ask this quick question. What does it take to make an impact for Christ? Or I could ask it a different way. What kind of person can have an impact for Christ? Can use their life, their little dot on the timeline of eternity to make a difference for God? And most of us, when we think about this, we think that it takes, you know, superstar Christians. Maybe somebody with a high IQ, maybe somebody that has a certain standing in the community, maybe it takes somebody that has this long track record of perfect Christian living. But I want to look at one verse today about what God says. If you look in 2 Chronicles 16:9, this is what God's word says. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. It says this: "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. What does it take to make an impact for Christ in the world? I'm going to give you three things really quickly. Here's the first one. If we're going to make an impact for Christ, we have to, number one, work in God's power and not our power. Work in God's power and not our power. I love this picture of this verse, and I'll explain to you the context in just a second. But the picture of that God, the God of the universe, is looking throughout the earth to show himself strong, or to strongly support you or me. Have you ever seen that show Shark Tank? How many of you seen Shark Tank? Anybody seen it? I love Shark Tank. Shark Tank is a show that if you're an inventor, you're an entrepreneur, you can come on this show. I'm sure there's some screening process, but you sit before these five sharks and you pitch your idea, you pitch your business, and you talk about your sales, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to get one of these sharks, one of these investors who's worth millions or billions, and is so connected to various markets in the world, and has a lot of business savvy, to invest in you, invest in your business, so that it'll be a success. And occasionally they'll review these businesses that have partnered with one of the sharks, and they'll show how they went from being a $10,000 business to becoming a $10 million business, and how really the key to their success was this support that they got, this partnership with an investor. And when I think about this verse, I think this verse is telling me that the God with unlimited resources, with unlimited wisdom, with unlimited power, is looking for somebody to invest in, somebody to support. Wouldn't that be amazing if that was you or me? You see, unlike the Shark Tank, where somebody's trying to come up with a better toilet seat, God is on a mission to make worshipers, to create worshipers, people that come to know Jesus Christ. They have their sins forgiven. They have a new purpose and a new plan for their life. As the Nicaragua team was saying, that's happened a lot in the church they partner with there. They've seen it happen with these people's lives. And he wants each one of our lives to have an impact in the mission of God in the world, to be a part of this mission that God is doing. And God's not just looking to invest $100,000 or even $1 million. He has unlimited resources. And the game-changing reality when it comes to will I make an impact for God is God going to support you? Are we going to work in God's power? Peter says it like this. He says, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves in the strength that God supplies. You got to do God's mission with God's power. You got to serve in the strength that he supplies. That's part of what this verse is saying. What does it take to make an impact for Christ with your life? Number two, you got to eliminate the idols. You got to eliminate the idols in your life. Look at this verse again. Who does God support? He supports those whose heart is completely his. Those whose heart is completely his. He's not saying your heart's partially his. Like, God, I give you my heart on a Sunday morning for an hour. Or, Lord, I will give you my heart. You are my God, but I have all these other gods too. And I'll just have you on the side. He says, no. I'm looking the earth to show myself strong, to strongly support those whose heart is completely about me. The context is very important. If you look in 2 Chronicles 16 or 14, 15, and 16, it's the story of Asa. Can you say that with me? Asa. Yeah. Asa is a king of Israel. And Asa is a good king. He's not a perfect king, but he is a good king. You see, when you read the book of Kings and Chronicles, it goes through all these different kings in the Bible, and it says that some, they did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and of a very few, it says they did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, that's Asa, all right? And so what he did, his first 100 days in office, he came in and he removed all the idols. Israel had these statues that they worshipped to these other gods, and he removed them all. He removed all the high places. He built up the cities. He built up the military. He was a good king. And then 10 years later, this army, the Ethiopians, they come against Judah. And instead of putting his trust in his new, strongly built army, he says to God, he prays to God, God, it is you that we rely on. It's you that we rely on. Deliver us. It's you. And we find out that the other army is twice their size, but they destroy them. They're able to defend against them. And it's an amazing thing. And this is really interesting to me. This is how serious he is. This is how serious he is about these idols. When he told everyone in the land to get rid of the idols, he found out that his mom didn't get rid of her idols, okay? Like Asa's mom had erected this image, this statue to the god Asherah. And when he found out that she wouldn't take it down, what he does is he goes and gets it. He breaks it up into a bunch of pieces and he burns it. And her title in the kingdom was, let's see, let me make sure I get this right. Queen Mother. queen mother, he demotes her. He demotes her in the kingdom. Now, that's pretty serious because just quite frankly, you know, if I'm him and I make this rule, I may give my family a pass, right? And of course, if I give anybody in my family a pass, I'm going to give mama a pass. But Asa don't give mama a pass. He demotes her and he burns her idol. Pretty strong, ain't it? He's pretty serious. He's pretty serious about this. No other gods but the one true God. What is your idol? You say, well, I don't have any statues. You know, don't have to worry about me. I got no statues. Well, we have all kinds of idols. You know, money is a popular idol because money can make us feel really great when we have it and really terrible when we don't have it, discouraged and depressed and lacking all security. Comfort can be an idol. You know, maybe comfort is your idol. Don't mess with my game. The game's on. Please. Let's talk later. Don't mess with my free time. Don't ask me to serve. Maybe your idol's reputation. Your reputation. Everything that you do in your life, you filter that through the lens of what am I going to look like if I do this? What's mom going to think? What's dad going to think? What's my boyfriend going to think? Now, what's my boss going to think? Reputation. Who cares? Who cares what they think, right? Because all that matters really is what God thinks, right? If he is God. And you can either fear man or you can fear God. You can either serve God or you can serve money. You can either make a name for yourself or you can get a new identity in Jesus Christ. But you can't do both. Can't worship and rely on God and idols. But I love what this verse says. It says that God will strongly support who? Those whose heart is completely his. Those whose heart is completely his. Number three. Do you want to have an impact? I think that most Christians would say, I would like to have an impact. I would like my life to count for something. I'd like to do something of eternal significance. Do you want to have an impact? Number three. Be steadfast in your faith. Be steadfast in your faith. This verse we're looking at today is actually a rebuke. This story of Asa, he's a good king, not a perfect king. And at the end of his life, everything falls apart. And what we find out is at the end of his life, 25 years later, Asa is threatened again. Except he's not threatened by some foreign power. He's threatened by the northern kingdom that is often called Israel. Now, I'm not going to go into a long history lesson, but there's a northern kingdom. The kingdom's divided. Northern kingdom, normally called Israel. Southern kingdom, called Judah. And so Asa's down here in the southern kingdom. He's being threatened by this king in the northern kingdom. They're really part of the same family. They're all Israel. They're all kinsmen, you know. They're brothers. And so what does he do? He goes to the king of Syria and he says, deal with that guy up there. And I'll give you a bunch of money. He goes to the temple. He gets a bunch of money out and he pays him. And he says, break your alliance with the northern kingdom and deal with them so I don't have to deal with them. So whereas he relied on God in the past, he relies on himself. He relies on a foreign power. He relies on his money. And God sends the prophet Hanani to oppose him and tell him this. Not only did he not trust God, but God says, I had an opportunity for you. Because many times in our life, these difficult times that come, they're an opportunity. And God has an opportunity for us. And he says, you missed the opportunity. I was going to show myself strong. I was going to strongly support you. But you wouldn't let me. And you can read the rest of the story and what happens to him. But let me tell you this. Many people start well. Not many finish well. Many people start well in the Christian life. Very few finish well. There's a reason why Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. You know. Many start well, many don't finish well. Many start well, they want to do a ministry. You think about even this Nicaragua team here. You have a heart to do a ministry. Maybe God's given you a ministry to do. You started serving in a role. You've taken a leadership responsibility in some way. It's very easy to start well. It's very hard to be steadfast and finished will. It requires you to keep trusting. Keep trusting. Keep depending on God. You know, October marks 500 years since the Protestant Reformation. How many of you know who Martin Luther is? Not Martin Luther King Jr. See some hands going down. Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation, 500 years ago. He's this Augustinian monk who sees all these abuses in the Catholic Church. Year is 1517, 500 years ago. And he goes up against the big, bad Catholic Church, and he starts with this letter to the Pope. Nails it on the church, the Wittenberg church door. And the first one of these 95 theses, as they're called, the very first one is this. I'm going to read it to you. It says, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers one of repentance. When the Lord Jesus said, repent, he willed the whole life of a believer one of repentance. In other words, I have constant need for repentance. You know what repentance means? It means turning away from those idols and those sins in my life and turning back to God. I have a constant need for that. I'm not perfect. I was talking to one of you today, and I was telling you that I was a sinner, and I still had to ask forgiveness for my sin. They said, you're the pastor. I said, yeah, I know, I'm a sinner. I constantly in my life, God is pointing his finger at areas of my life that are not submitted to him. He points his finger at these idols in my life that I thought I walked away from a long time ago, but they seem to, I cuddle back up close to them. You know, and God's saying, are you going to say yes to me in that? Are you going to trust me in that? Because if you do, I'll strongly support you. Amen. I'll strongly support you. You can make it, you can make your life count. You can make an impact in the world in a way that you can never dream. I'll strongly support you. You know, Romans chapter 12, this is a verse that we're probably familiar with. It says, present your bodies, our bodies, a living sacrifice. And I always heard growing up as a kid, what's the problem with the living sacrifice? Some of you know. The living sacrifice crawls off the altar, you know. You put a lamb that's going to be sacrificed, you sit him on the altar, what's going to happen? He's not staying there. He's going to get away. Same thing with us. I mean, we climb off the altar again and again. But God tells us to be a living sacrifice. We have to again and again place ourselves on the altar and say, God, you are God, I am not. These idols, they're not God. You are God. I will trust in you every day of our life. I've talked to you about him before. I love Bill Bright and what Bill Bright was able to accomplish with Campus Crusade. And many of you are not familiar with this campus ministry, but through Bill Bright, I mean, the impact of this man's ministry is really hard to calculate. I mean, I saw a statistic that because of Campus Crusade for Christ, 4.2 billion people have heard the gospel. I mean, that's just staggering. They're in 191 countries around the world. It's just an amazing ministry. And but this guy's just a businessman. I mean, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he's just a businessman who just decided that he was going to make an impact for Christ. And he's not a pastor. I don't know if he ever went to seminary, but he decided he was going to make an impact. And he said in his autobiography, he says, the key to my life is this prayer that I always pray. I pray this prayer over and over. And he says this. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus, I want to be a suit of clothes for you. I just want you to walk around in my body, think with my mind, love with my heart, speak with my lips, seek and save the lost through me. Here's the key. I'm just available. I'm available. That's what God is looking for. And I really believe this, that the eyes of the Almighty God, the living God, his eyes are running to and fro throughout this room this morning. And he says, if your heart is totally mine, I will strongly support you today.